Matthews got it back, sets, looks, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over.
That's a huge one. That's a really good football team we just played. A really, really good one, and their defense is fantastic. I think to come into their place and get a win, first one in the division this year is a good one.
What a hell of a quarterback that man is turning out to be. Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions, and of course that was the call. Detroit Lions play-by-play last week when they beat the Minnesota Vikings in overtime. And wow is all I can say. Didn't see that one coming, even though the Vikings have been sliding a bit. I think that still shocked most of us. NFL Detroit Lions talk right now with Tony Ortiz, longtime sports talk show host and reporter, and the Lions Radio Network sidelines reporter for many years. Tony, I want to thank you for joining Out of Line. And quickly, before we get started, I promised a mutual friend and colleague, Bernie Fratto, that I would make sure to let you know he said hello.
Well, tell Bernie I said hello. Good friend, and I haven't talked to him in a while, but I loved working around and with Bernie here in Detroit, so let him know I said hello.
I will, my friend. He's a special guy out here, and we love having him, and both him and I have lots of memories of Detroit and stuff. Tony, I'm doing everything short of seeking therapy to stay optimistic by the Lions' 5-4 record. More notably, four of those wins came in their last five games, including an uncharacteristic win in overtime in Minnesota that we just talked about. That was after giving up the lead for the first time in the game with under half a minute to go. I say uncharacteristic because first, after winning the coin toss, they elected to receive. I'm kidding. That was a different era and regimen. But then they got the ball and went right down the field, scored a touchdown, and won the game. I'm happy, but that is not indicative of the culture of the Detroit Lions football team. Tony, should fans of the Detroit Lions start getting their hopes up?
Yeah, I think so, because the NFC, look, the other teams in the NFC are really beating up on each other, and at 5-4, the Lions have put themselves right back in the thick of the NFC playoff race. So, yeah, based on the way the offense is playing, based on the way the defense has started to come around in recent weeks, and based on the fact that this team can win the close games, and you see close games every week in the NFL, yeah, I think if you're a fan of the Lions, you should be optimistic about their chances of at least making a playoff run and playing some meaningful games in December.
I like it, and I want to feel the same way I do. And I brought this up a little bit ago at the beginning. You heard Matthew Stafford after the Minnesota game. How big was it that Sam Bradford elected to stay in school in 2009? Because no doubt he comes out, Stafford is not a Detroit Lion.
That's huge. And look, when that choice came around, there were a lot of people who didn't want them to draft Matthew Stafford. They wanted somebody on the defensive side of the ball instead of the offensive side, because coming off the 2008 season, that's where the Lions' problems seemed to be, mostly on the defensive side of the ball. And Matthew Stafford was hurt the first couple of years, and it's taken him some time to win over Detroit fans. But the way he played the second half of last season and the way he's played the first half of this season, he's starting to win over a lot of the doubters here in the Motor City.
Man, and talk about, you know, like you said, a little bit injury-riddled the first couple of years, shoulder injuries and everything. Man, this guy has turned into one of the Iron Men of football. He's chasing Brett Favre. He's got a long way to go, but you got to give this guy credit. He takes a beating in there. I also wanted to ask you, you know, there was a little bit working for the Detroit Lions Radio Network when I was in Detroit. I worked there until 2002 when I went into the mortgage industry, somehow back in radio now. But when I was there, there was kind of a little bit of an untold story as to Barry Sanders' retirement. And Barry Sanders made it clear at the beginning of his career that he wanted to play 10 years and stay healthy, kind of emulate Jim Brown's career. None of us believed it. We all thought it was because of Bobby Ross. He didn't like the Lions. He never did come back. Is there any untold story behind Megatron retiring?
No, there isn't. He was really banged up toward the end of last season. The last couple of years, he was injured. You could run down a litany of the injuries. Knee, ankle, shoulder, finger. If I forgot anything. He was a guy who spent a lot of time in the training room. I mean, literally every day he would start his day inside the training room. He'd go to practice, then he'd go back into the training room. He was just banged up, and having talked to him both during the season and after the season, the one thing he made clear was this was a quality of life decision. He wants to be able to play with his kids when he has kids. He wants to be able to be there and not need operation after operation after operation. because of his NFL career. So no untold story. No, he was chased off by somebody in management. It's just simply a case of quality of life, and that's why Calvin Johnson resigned.
I can completely appreciate that. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you that being a lifelong Lions fan, I was not thrilled with the hiring of Jim Caldwell. I still think he botched the Colts' 2009 season, even though they made it to the Super Bowl, and I still don't think he's the man for the Lions' job. If you think I'm wrong, tell me why.
Because the players love him. Jim Caldwell has the respect of every single player in that locker room, and the reason, and I've talked to players about this before, the one thing they like the most about Caldwell is he is a straight shooter. You will find coaches in the NFL who will play head games with their players. Jim Caldwell is not that guy. If you make a mistake, he doesn't care if you're the first man on the roster like Matthew Stafford or the 53rd man on the roster like, say, Corey Robinson. He will call you out in front of everybody and say, look, that's a mistake. You need to fix that. He's a guy who is a straight shooter that has the respect of the players. In the past, the Lions have had coaches who would not call out a Matthew Stafford or a Calvin Johnson or one of the big-name superstar players if they made a mistake. That's not Jim Caldwell at all.
You know, I like it. Like I said, I've been trying to wrap my arms around him. I like what I'm seeing lately. Question decisions in the past, but, you know, he has got taken a team to the Super Bowl. We'll see. I like what you said. Now, you kind of answered this question already, but I'm starting my crusade that since the Cubs' century-long drought is over, the country now needs to join the Detroit Lions pity party. Let me state this fact again. In my lifetime, that spans over 54 years now, the Detroit Lions have won one playoff game. You can say they sniffed the Super Bowl in 1991 when that one playoff win got them to the NFC Championship game, but Mark Rippon and the Redskins ended that dream quickly, and they have never come close again. So last question, what in your opinion is the reason this team has never, putting it nicely, turned the corner?
They have hired the wrong people in the wrong positions at the wrong time. I mean, you can go back, Matt Millen's a great example of that. Came in with a lot of fanfare and a lot of promise, and it just didn't work. And there were times when the ownership, the Ford family, stuck with these people a little bit too long, and it set the development of this team back. They're trying to get it back on track with guys like Bob Quinn, with guys like Jim Caldwell, but bad decision piled on top of bad decision piled on top of bad decision is the reason this team has never, never been to the Super Bowl.
Couldn't be more well said. I've said the only common denominator since they've won a championship is the owner of the team. And, you know, Ford's been a generous owner, but I think I always say the guy is loyal to a fault. Of course, William Clay Ford is no longer with us. His son now, Bill Jr., running the squad, but loyal to a fault. Listen, I lied to a degree because I never come in under on our time, and we've got a little bit of time left, so I've got to hit you up with one more thing. Tell me this, Tony, is this team right now, do you think, looking at the mighty Green Bay Packers that are definitely not the same Green Bay Packers of the past couple years, the Minnesota Vikings, we've seen them stumble now. It looks like they're having a little bit of problems on the offensive line. Defense looks solid, but a little, and obviously issued with in the skill positions, missing Adrian Peterson. Number one, first part of the question, is the Detroit Lions, my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, the best team in the NFC North right now, and where do they rank, in your opinion, in the NFC and the National Football League, for that matter? Are they top five?
They're not top five in the NFC. I would say they're top eight, put it that way. Of the 16 teams in the conference, they are probably in the top eight. To answer your first question, are they the best team in the NFC North? You can make the case that they are. I'm going to be honest and say they're not. I still think the Green Bay Packers, before all is said and done, will put it together. Look, Aaron Rodgers is a very, very good quarterback. He may not be playing as well as Matthew Stafford right now, but he's got the track record where he has proven that he can pull out of these tailspins. I think they're the second-best team right now in the NFC North behind the Green Bay Packers and just slightly ahead of the Minnesota Vikings. As far as the NFC, I think there's a couple of teams. You put Seattle ahead of them. You can put Dallas ahead of them. I think Arizona's a better team than the Lions right now. You can even make the case the New York Giants might be a better team despite some of their problems than the Lions. But they are definitely in the top half of the NFC. And listen, you know this as well as anybody. For years, the Lions have not been in the top half of the conference. It's a nice change of pace that this team can be there. That being said, the second half of the season is an absolute killer. Their road trips are at New York against the Giants, at Dallas, and then the big one, at New Orleans, a place that the Lions have always struggled. So they're going to have some problems in the second half of the season, this will be a better test than the first half was if this team is for real a playoff contender.
I agree 100%. It will definitely be a character builder, and we will see what this team's made of. And I'll tell you this much, from my mouth right now to God's ears, please protect Matthew Stafford, Lord. Please take care of him. I mean, right, Tony? We got take him down, and bye-bye whatever hope and dreams we have goes right with him.
Yeah, he's the one player you just cannot afford to lose. They've had injuries to Ziggy Ansah and DeAndre Levy. You can lose those players because you have enough depth maybe to cover them, but you cannot lose Matthew Stafford if you want to be a playoff contender. You got to keep him upright the remainder of the season.
Yeah, plug and play stands true for most things in the NFL, not for the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford. He is Tony Ortiz, longtime sportscaster and Detroit sports talk show host, well-respected and longtime on the sidelines for the Detroit Lions. Tony, it's been a pleasure having you on, my friend. I look forward to having you on again.
You got it. Anytime you need me, just call.
Hey, great guy, Tony Ortiz. Listen, let's take a real quick break. I know we were going to go into something else here, Magnum. Let's take that real quick break right now. We will come back with Blazin'. We'll try to talk. We definitely got to talk some NFL, maybe a little bit more college football. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Out of Line.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
You ain't cause you're not. This is why. Hey, listen, I'm on the radio for a reason, right, Magnum? I got a voice and a face for the radio. Anyway, listen, you are listening to the Out of Line. Again, we come your way every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., and it is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing. They've got two happy hours every day, and you know it is America's one and only place to go for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, every Monday night, I am there hosting their Monday Night Football parties, giving away replica NFL jerseys, wing parties, and a whole lot more. I get there about 5 o'clock. The game kicks off at 5:30, and we do not leave until everything is given away at the end of the game. Come on down tomorrow night. I will be there at 5 p.m. Get there early and get a seat. We were surprisingly busy last week, considering it was the day before the presidential election. But we had a good crowd, and it turned out to be a great game, actually, between Buffalo and Seattle. Turned out to be one of the more entertaining Monday night games. Well, Blazin' this week, Magnum, I'm going to start this off, and I'll tell you right now, Kurt Palahniuk is going to be Blazin' and my Blazin' this week. The guy was absolutely on fire in yesterday's UNLV game, in their football game. You're talking about a guy that rushed for 157 net yards, including a 76-yard touchdown scamper, 200-and-some-odd yards passing, 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions. The kid played the game of his life against the number one team in their division in the Mountain West Conference. They were 5-0 coming in, 7-2 of an overall record. They're now 5-1 and 7-3 overall, thanks to UNLV and triple overtime win of 69-66. But thanks in most part to Kurt Palahniuk. And here he is, man, Blazin', the Blazin' man on UNLV.
Kurt Palahniuk, junior transfer quarterback, the only guy that came into this season with some experience playing quarterback position. He came in, Johnny Stanton, then you get Snead, and finally you get your chance. How you feeling right now, man?
It feels great to finally be out there and help out this offense. It was obviously tough ending fall camp with an injury, and it's not where you want to be, but that happens in life. You know, it doesn't always go as you plan, and you just got to fight through adversity, and I finally got my chance, and I'm just going to keep trying to make the most of my opportunities.
If I would have told you 24 hours ago that you were going to rush for 180 yards and an incredible touchdown, throw 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions, outplay Wyoming, what would you have told me?
That sounds like a good day.
This team right now, the character of you guys to be able to come back from a lot of adversity this year, as Coach just talked about, a lot of injuries. What does this win say for you guys going forward?
It just shows that we can play at a high level. I think it gives us the confidence going forward that we are a good team despite injuries, and the next man up can make the plays, and I think that's huge going into this next week, that, you know, having that confidence that we can get big wins against good teams like Wyoming.
Yeah, and now next week, you got a tough game coming up, a short week of rest, and then of the big game against Reno. Short week. Coach seems to relish that. What about you?
It's no problem. I think we just got to get back to work. I mean, we have a 24-hour rule here where we're going to get back on Sunday, clean up the mistakes we did have, because, I mean, we got the win, but it definitely wasn't a perfect game by any means, and I think if we clean those up, we can give ourselves a fighting chance against Boise.
Real quickly, the confidence coming out, you threw the ball right away, first couple possessions, first down tossing. How much confidence does that give you going forward into this game?
It's huge. It's not just for myself, but for our offense to show that we can get the ball moving. Wade was doing a great job beating his man and getting open, and I was just, the O-line was giving me time to find him, and you know, that helped just going through the whole game, just having the confidence that I know I could rely on those guys.
The big play they talked about, they come down, they get the kick return, you come right back. Talk about what you saw there. It looked like the Red Sea opened up, man.
That's what I saw, too. It was a run-pass option, and they took away the throw, and I saw a lane up the middle, and our O-line was able to get the separation. I just saw the window and I took it, but it wasn't a designed run, no.
Well, you know, that play, you worried about the track coach coming after you after that play? My God, that looked like someone was chasing you with a gun.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. They say I'm fast, so I'm just trying to show it, you know, keep the reputation true.
End of the game, you're holding for Nikolai Bornan. What do you do after that false start? You see the ball go left. Did you say anything to him before he re-kicked again?
Absolutely. I told him, don't worry about it, man. I know you can make it. I've seen you make it all the time in practice. So, yeah, I didn't say too much besides that. I knew I had the confidence in him, and he had that calm nature about him. He didn't seem rattled by the kick, so I didn't feel anything more was necessary. I knew he was going to go out there and punch it through.
I'm going to say two words to you, Tony Sanchez.
He's a great competitor, great leader, and, you know, he's changing the culture here.
I believe him. He's changing the culture. That is my blazing player. Kurt Palahniuk, great game, brother. I wish you the best of luck. I hope you can win the job. I think you definitely have the job cemented for the final two games this year if you stay healthy and don't completely lay an egg up in Boise. But, wow, what a game you had. One for the ages. The highest scoring game in UNLV history and the highest scoring game in Mountain West Conference history and up there amongst all time. It was a blazing game. The whole thing was blazing. And, Magnum, what's blazing in your world, brother?
Well, I actually have two. I'm going to start with the San Diego State running backs, who yesterday ran for 470-plus yards against the Wolfpack of the school up north. Everyone knows about Donnell Pumphrey. He had 26 carries for 198 yards. Freshman Juwan Washington, 5 carries for 70 yards. But how about Rashad Penny? 10 carries, 208 rushing yards, averaged 20 yards a carry on 10 carries.
It's crazy.
Aztecs rush for 474 yards as a team. They demolish the school up north. And also I'm going to go with Hunter Dimmick. And he's a defensive lineman for the University of Utah. Well, the other night against Arizona State, we don't really talk about defensive players a lot. Guy had 6.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks on Arizona State quarterbacks. So those would be two guys or two units who I would say are definitely blazing this week.
Without question, a lot of good performances this week, and those definitely are a couple of big ones, including the one here at UNLV that is blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing. Wings Beer Sports, there's no place better. 2 happy hours every day, and again, every Monday night during the NFL season. I will be there hosting their Monday night football parties. Come on down, say hello. Let me give you some free wings. Get your hat in the ring to win a free NFL replica jersey or some a big wing party, which is pretty cool as well. Again, that is blazing. Magnum, time to switch over and talk a little UNLV basketball. And I'll tell you what, they had their first game Friday night, regular season game. They had a couple of exhibition games last week. I had no problem with Dakota Wesleyan, and then they also played New Mexico Highlands, and they both beat them pretty soundly. They got their first test, Division I school, South Alabama. Not a great record last year, but a veteran-laden team, and just UNLV had answers early, didn't have enough answers, and really there's some issues. But Marvin Menzies after the UNLV game.
All right, let's start with obviously frustrated, a lot of miscues. I could go on and on, guys, about the things we did wrong. There were a lot, but it's late, so I'll hit you with the things that that I think are important to be inspired by. I thought their attitude in the locker room was what I wanted to see from a team that just took a loss to a team that, quite frankly, is, you know, I don't know where they were picked, but I thought they were better than where they're picked. And, you know, I talked about them having a lot of seniors and you know, he's kind of got that team poised for a good season, so he's doing a good job. And we needed to be more ready than we were tonight to get the win. But the way the guys were in the locker room, I was inspired by their pain. You know, I felt more for them than myself, just in the sense that I think they really do play for Vegas. You know, it's not just a slogan. I mean, they were hurting. They were. You thought it was they just got eliminated from the WAC tournament or something. You know, or Mountain West tournament, I should say. And it's just that's good to see. That's inspiring. Because I know that they're invested. And a lot of, you know, they said the right things. They said the right things about, you know, don't point fingers and be a family, stay together. They know they got to get better. I think if I start talking too much about the negative things that happened in the course of the game, my opening statement will be about 20 minutes. And I'm sure you guys will ask anyway. So why don't we open it up for questions?
Yeah, that was Marvin Menzies, the post-game press conference, and, you know, it was interesting. I saw the game. I was listening to Rebel Extra. I actually called in and talked to Bernie and Mitch after the game on Rebel Extra, just because I'm amazed that fans are going to be this critical after one regular season game. I mean, this guy, give him a chance. He got here, and when it was all said and done, only three players returned from last year's team. Terrell Green, who virtually we've never seen play till this year. Jalen Poyser, a freshman last year, who basically spelled the point position at times, never started. And then Dwayne Morgan, who was like the sixth man off the bench. He saw the most significant. He's hurt and hasn't even played yet. He had hip surgery, so we're waiting for him to get back in the lineup. Give Marvin Menzies and this team a chance. You're going to see some players on this team, some guys that definitely can play, and I'll tell you right now, you want to watch this guy, Christian Jones. He's a senior transfer from St. John's. He can play ball. He can clean the glass. He's our widest body and not super tall at 6'8", but he can get the job done. I think our best player is going to be Chris Clyburn. He was in the two exhibition games. Struggled a bit against South Alabama, but Chris Clyburn can play basketball. Jalen Poyser is, for until we find a floor general, UNLV is going to have him as their point man. He's the best they've got right now. Maybe Chris Clyburn can learn that position. I think he's the most athletic guy. Some of my friends in the business believe that he's the guy that should be running the point, and maybe he should. And I like this Troy Baxter Jr. kid. He's a four-star recruit. Bernie Fratto likes him a lot as well. And I'll tell you right now, this kid, like I said last week, is a poor man's the kid we had last year, Derek Jones Jr. He's a poor man, Derek Jones Jr. He's got the hops. He can definitely give you some highlight film dunks. It's just going to depend whether he can grow into the role in his athleticism. He's got some hops. He's got height. We'll see if he can do it. And then, like I said, Dwayne Morgan will have to step into this lineup and be the other guy out. The rest of them are going to have to fill in. Javon Mooring has got to quit pretending he's Jerome Seegers. Boy, did he look like him twice in the game against South Alabama. Right after UNLV got a stop in transition, he runs right down and just pulls up and takes a three with a full shot clock, missed both times, and that can't happen. That was last year's crap, and I'm sure Marvin Menzies is going to thwart that. You could see that he was visibly upset by the fact that they weren't setting up their offense at times. But give this team and give Menzies a chance. I think he will return the run into Rebels. Give him a little bit of time. It's his first year. The players love him. The media likes him. He's dynamic. He's exciting. And more than anything else, folks, it does require a little bit of patience. As sports fans, we don't want to hear that. But again, look at the situation. We're not even a year removed from the debacle of last year. Rice getting fired three games in after a team in the preseason beats Indiana, goes to the wire with UCLA, and then the three games into the Mountain West Conference, they fire the coach. And, you know, nothing's been the same since then. I think we're finally getting back to pure basketball, and I like it. So give the guy a chance. But I also got a chance to talk to Chris Clyburn, the guard, and we're going to play that right now for you. Might run a little bit short. We're running short on time. But this is the guy that I think will end up materializing as the best player on this basketball team UNLV's put together right now. Sophomore transfer, Chris Clyburn, originally out of Detroit, Westland, Michigan, actually.
Chris Clyburn transferred here to Las Vegas. First regular season game of the season. How you feeling? I know obviously the outcome's not great, but how you feeling right now?
We're all shaking up right now. But, you know, first game, it was a tough loss. Tough, real tough. But once we get back into the gym, get back together, figure out as a team, we'd be a lot better.
What do you think after now, you know, a couple of exhibition games last week, now this one, what do you feel you guys need to work on the most? Obviously, there's a lot of things, but what do you feel your primary focus would be?
It's getting consecutive stops, you know. We got to get the first rebound, push it, you know. Once you get consecutive stops, then it becomes much easier.
A couple of the times you guys closed it to within four, 2 points even a few times, and it seems like somebody came down and just took a shot it right away. Was that part of the game plan, or did they just think it was an open look and just ran down and took it?
Like, everybody trusting each other, you know. Like, it was a good shot, but we all got to react, rebound. You got to get back, get a stop. If you don't get a stop, that don't really matter. It don't matter what time you shake. If you don't get a stop, it don't matter.
You mentioned in the press conference, you know, first game together, the chemistry. Do you feel right now you're where you should be at chemistry-wise? I mean, you guys are all pretty much playing together for the first time.
We still got a long way to go, you know. We've still been working at it. We've been in practice, make sure we hang out together outside of practice. But I feel like give us another week or so, we'd be fully committed.
Coach Menzies, I mean, you came here on a, you know, transferred over here. What do you think right now of his style of coaching, and are you pleased with what you see so far?
Yeah, I love it, you know. That's why I chose here. He's a great coach. I like the style of play he brings out, and then, you know, it just depends on what you do with it.
Last question, leadership right now. That's obviously one of the things on the team. You know, all you guys came from different ways. Who do you turn to right now? Who are they turning to? You're one of the guys, the name comes up when I ask who they turn to. You're one of the names that come up.
Like, everybody got to play their role, you know. Leadership comes from someone who wants to take on that role, but you got to have people that want to listen. But at the end of the day, it's all about us being together as a team.
I lied. One more question. The look of this team, if people say right now to define the UNLV basketball team, what would you say?
I'd probably say we play hard, but we just got to get stops, get off, get rebounds. But other than that, we play pretty hard.
Chris Clyborn, sophomore transfer guard. And we'll see. This kid looks like he's got hops. Listen, we're just about out of time, Magnum. I know we're running short today, as we always do, man. An hour is just not enough time to be completely out of line. But we've got our pick segment. And Magnum, you finally took one on the chin last week. You were due. Well, that's just enough time for us both to get our picks in. Go ahead, man. What you got today for me?
Well, I'm going to go against what appears to be sharp money today. I don't know if that's a good decision or not. However, I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Chicago Bears. Mike Evans and Jameis Winston both will play. Basically, the Buccaneers playing for their season. Jay Cutler's back. I think he's, after a good performance last week, I do think he will revert back to the old Jay Cutler. And big news for the Buccaneers. Running back Doug Martin is active.
Finally.
I know.
The lingering hamstring, a season-long hamstring injury.
Yeah, basically.
Now, not a bad pick. I'm going to tell you what. It's funny because just real quick, we talked about Doug Martin. Yesterday, the kicker of UNLV's team, they said had full body cramps. I still don't know what that means. Or how Tony Sanchez was making fun of it. Like, how does a kicker get full body cramp? I don't know. But that's why Bornan had to kick at the end of the game. All right, real quick, my pick. I am going with a team that is 7-1 against the spread this year. I'm going to say they'll be 8-1. New England Patriots, believe it or not, giving Seattle 7.5 points right now. I think it'll be down to 7. A lot of the sharp money's trying to balance that with Seattle. No way. New England too good, and they're coming off of a bye week. Give Bill Belichick and Tom Brady an extra week to repair. They would give a team that was put together by heaven a tough time. Let me tell you right now, I'm taking the Patriots and laying the points. That one's easy. This is Out of Line. My name's Brian Feldman. We come your way every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell your friends anyways. We'll see you next week. I'm Out of Line. Thanks to Tony Ortiz, Kurt Palandek, and Chris Clyborn for being part of the show. We'll see ya.
Thank you for your understanding. And I want to thank the crowd tonight.